저상가 나상기 균기 때문에 아니 가서를 그게 나상기 균기 때문에 다 나지 나 가서 가사하게 천시 다 가서를 그게 나상기 균기 때문에 샤용어 인도잖아요 가사 다 가사 나상기 균기 다 나상기 가사 샤용어 인도잖아요 안다 스템잠베 어 가서를 그게 근시에 두지디디 다 켜는 거야 말이 디디는 내가 조금 말이
Because they posit the continuum of the mirror I as the person, as the person, the reasonings which the Chittamatrans cite for the need for a mind basis of all do not apply to them at all. These complicated debates are very deep. But we won't go into them here.
That in a match in Casa. That ten you rang under Tammy Truby, Tammy Truby, and Dusta, Tammy Tan of Puby, and Dusane, Tammy, Casa, and Chi, Tammy, Nisha.
Now, when the Prasangikas present selflessness, they present a selflessness of persons and a selflessness of other phenomena.
But the Casa Judy.
In terms of order, one first realizes the substance of persons and then the substance of other phenomena. It said that it's easier to realize the substance of the person first because of certain features of the subject that is empty, the person. First of all, it's necessary to know if this is a system of selflessness, what self is. Without knowing what self is, one cannot know what selflessness is. In general, among phenomena, there are positive and negative phenomena. And with regard to any negative phenomenon, without the object of negations appearing, what do we say, without an elimination of the object of negations, well, without the object of negation appearing to mind, and one's eliminating that object of negation, that negative phenomenon cannot be understood. With respect to negative phenomena, there are two types, affirming negatives and non-affirming negatives. Affirming negatives imply something else in place of the negation of their object of negation, whereas non-affirming negatives do not imply anything in place of the negation of their object of negation. That do not imply any positive phenomenon in place of their object of negation. With respect to affirming negatives, there are several, is it four? Four types. That explicitly suggest other positive phenomena, those that implicitly suggest other positive phenomena, those that both explicitly and implicitly suggest other positive phenomena, and those that by context suggest other positive phenomena. But here, selflessness is a non-affirming negative.
Da
So then, what is this self that is non-existent?
다른 논도 조금 돼요. 텔라 다지 차원이 있어. 쉽게 되게 나. 텔라 다지 차원이 거시 모범한테 시간을 잡아내면 뭐 정신대. 대매받아 다매받고.
As Chandrakirti says in his commentary on Arya Deva's 400, self.
텔라 다지 차원이 거시 모범한테 시간을 잡아내면 뭐 정신대.
Self refers to inherent existence. And a self-powered entity of phenomena that does not depend on something else. So the object of negation here is non-dependence, what do you say? Establishment or existence under the object's own power without a depending on something else. The Tibetan Lamas have been very skilled in drawing out the meaning of these. The many objects, for example, the many objects that appear in dream time are only appearances. They don't exist there in fact. We're talking about the usual sort of dream. We're not talking about the special dream body and so forth. These are only imputed by the mind.
대신 당신 코와 양대서 대신도 다시 구동한 대신 당신 코와 양대서 최근 러다 민기 탄약이 딱바잠레스 덕신 남기 땡 랑기 여바 가양 마치소.
Similarly, also phenomena such as self, other, 당신.
당신 코와 양대서.
Cyclic existence, nirvana, and so forth, aside from only being imputed by the mind. They exist only through imputation by the mind and by terms.
덕신남기땡 랑기 여방 가연 마시소스.
None of them exist right with their own bases of designation. So that is the reality, but. But due to the thick sleep of ignorance, due to being affected by the thick sleep of ignorance, the six collections of consciousness,
박베 소소기의 속중 모르 강나 시 강나나야 대탐절로
So, due to the thick sleep of ignorance, whatever appears to the six types of consciousnesses appears as if it exists right in its own right. And one needs, with one's own experience, to look into one's mind and see this.
대단한 추별로 나와 있어.
It appears this way to a mistaken consciousness.
Tadar chubel lo na yi na so de ne chube dulun dis. Na so de ne chube ta dulu dulu imra. Na so de ne chuba ta de ne chuba. Rang ne chuba chi thung do she gdo wa.
So thus to a mistaken mind it appears that I and so forth exist from their own side or in their own right.
De ne chube dulu dulu dis ta.
So this mode of subsistence in which the I and so forth appear to exist in their own right is the subtle object of negation. Therefore, it is very important to refute it for one's mind without leaving anything over.
When I look on you, they appear, each person, you see, each phenomena in front of mine, you see, it seems, you see, appear from their own side, rather than, you see,
doesn't appear at all as if designated by my own consciousness. If things did exist objectively in their own right, then when one sought them with analysis, they should become clearer. For instance, self, except within this area, myself isn't going to be anywhere else. It can be decided that except for being with my own mental and physical aggregates, there can't be any self that's separate. And if you search for that self from the, if I search for that self from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, it can't be found.
Without
analysis and innately, we have a sense of, I have a sense of my mind, thus mind is something like owned by that, by the I.
So you see, our physical as well as our mind is something my physical, my mind. So it means there is separate I there. So these two things belong to that I. Yet, you see, beside these physical and mind, there is no I.
Then when one investigates any phenomenon in this way, For instance, if one uses the reasoning of the lack of being one and many, all physical phenomena have
parts.
When the part and whole appear to our minds, it appears that the part is one phenomenon, the parts are one phenomenon, and the whole is another phenomenon. They appear to be separate. If they actually did
exist,
if there were a concordance between the way they appear and the way they exist, then parts and whole would have to be different entities. When you look into phenomena that are wholes, by way of looking into their parts, then when you remove the parts, you cannot, there's no whole to be found. And if you look into the parts, it has those, each of those have parts, and those have parts, and so forth, and finally you get down to the finest of particles. Now, in the lower systems of tenets, they assert partless particles, and let us consider two of these partless particles next to each other. If they had no parts in terms of the directions, if they had no directional sides, then no matter how many of them you put together, or no matter how many of them came together, if they had to, If they had parts, you could put them side by side, and by putting them side by side, get something bigger. But if they have no parts, then you can't put them side by side, because they don't have any sides, right?
Right.
So then no matter how many you put together, if you had 100,000 or whatever, they would all just occupy the same space. Thus, even the smallest of particles has directional parts. Even if one can't physically take it apart, one can mentally see how it does have parts. If there was something that were out without parts, I'll give half of it. any physical phenomena necessarily has parts. Even the smallest, the subtlest of all factors has parts. Then in terms of consciousness, consciousness is posited in terms of a continuum and moments of time.
In the
lower systems, they assert partless moments of consciousness, and if we take two of these partless moments of consciousness, if between the two moments of consciousness there was another moment of consciousness, then it would be impossible for the former moment to be the direct cause of the effect in the latter moment. And if it weren't interrupted by anything, and then since they're partless, they would have to touch each other in all respects, in which case they wouldn't be two moments in one continuum. So no matter how finely one goes, two parts of a continuum necessarily don't touch each other in all respects. There's this part, this, there are parts to each moment.
No. So, the reason is that when you're in the middle of the world, you're in
thus, this is a way of proving that whatever exists necessarily has parts. Then once it is established that everything has parts, then everything must be established in dependence on those parts. Everything must be designated in dependence on those parts. Once they're posited in dependence upon those parts, there is no way that they can exist under their own power. Similarly also, when we speak of causes producing effects, that a seed produces a sprout, so although there is production of effects by causes within the context of non-analysis and non-investigation, when one investigates, one cannot find that effects are produced from causes that are the same as themselves, other than themselves, both or neither. If production did inherently exist, then when one looked into the process of production, it should get clearer and clearer. When one analyzes production, it is completely devoid of any type of production from the four extremes. Also, in speaking about production, as something that exists must be produced, not something that doesn't exist. And if what exists existed under its own power, it wouldn't have to depend on causes. Thus, the non-existent can't be produced, and the existent, if it exists under its own power, has no need to be produced from causes either. Thus, when one analyzes, there's no way that one can posit any phenomenon. For instance, if one analyzes going, as Nagarjuna says, going does not take place on the area already gone over, it doesn't take place on the area yet to be gone over, and there isn't any area presently being gone over which is separate from the area already gone over or the area yet to be gone over. So time does exist, but when one analyzes it, the present time is posited in dependence on the past time. The past and future must be posited in dependence upon the present. But when you analyze the present, it's like half past and half future. No matter how you look, how fine a moment of time it is, it's half past and half future. Everything is like that. When you look into it, when you analyze it, nothing can be found. In terms of higher objects, one cannot find Buddha also, one cannot find emptiness. So then, do all of these things not exist? If they didn't exist, there would be no way that they could help or harm.
패네도가.
So, and there is help and harm.
니기미도디
Even though you can't find them, signs are indicated that they do exist.
다 뜨듯서 인도자네다 여섯 때네 많이 물어봐. 최태다 대파 다들 자네 인도 많이 봐 인도 여섯 때네 열에 삼십 때네 니마소와.
So then, when one searched to find a phenomena there, right with their right at their own place, one doesn't find the phenomenon that is designated. However, if they didn't exist, this is damaged by the fact that one undergoes experience of help and harm and so forth. Thus, once they exist, but don't exist under their own power, it must be that they exist in dependence upon other conditions. What are those conditions? Those conditions are conceptual consciousnesses which designate phenomena. This necessarily follows. So then, what does one posit as the meaning of existence? So the meaning of existence is not something that can be found under analysis. There are three criteria for a conventional existent. One, that the object be renowned, that the object be renowned. Two, that it not be contradicted by any conventional valid cognizer, and that it not be contradicted by any valid cognizer realizing the ultimate. Therefore, the meaning of an existent must be explained in terms of other conditions. There is no way of finding existence in the object's own right. Right?
So that data.
So that's the mode of subsistence or mode of being of phenomena. But even though the actual mode of being of phenomena is this way, the mode of appearance of phenomena is very different.
Phenomena
appear to exist in their own right, and we have an assent to that false appearance, don't we? So now, this establishment of objects under their own power without depending upon other conditions is called self, and its absence is called selflessness. Thus, in brief, dependence and independence are contradictory. And within contradictories, they are a dichotomy.
Chigana,
A dichotomy is such that if something is not one member, it must be the other. If it's not that one, it must be the other one.
One's
dependent and independent are a dichotomy, and one sees damage to the position that phenomena are independent. There is no way that they can't be anything but dependent. Once they are established or existent within being dependent, there is no way that they can exist under their own power without being dependent.
So once
phenomena are devoid of existing under their own power without dependence, what do you say? That is the meaning of their being empty of empty of a self, of self in the sense of existing under their own power without depending on something else. So that's the mode of subsistence or mode of being of phenomena. When one is not satisfied with the mere appearance of self, other, and other phenomena, but searches to find the mode of establishment of those phenomena, one cannot find anything.
Oh, yeah. And
when this type of consciousness, which is analyzing or distinguishing the ultimate, investigates, what does it find? It finds this non-inherent existence. So this non-inherent existence, which is found by the consciousness distinguishing the ultimate, is called an ultimate truth.
And
that phenomenon which is the basis of that attribute of non-inherent existence, and which is an object found by a a valid cognizer distinguishing a conventionality, is a conventional truth. Thus these two are posited with respect to one object, the nature of the object and the object that possesses that nature. The reality or the emptiness of the sprout, when one takes the sprout as the object being analyzed, is the So that consciousness that is analyzing the sprout finds or realizes the reality of the sprout, the emptiness of the sprout. So thus, in relation to the sprout, that empty reality is its final reality. That emptiness is its final reality. But then, when one analyzes the mode of establishment of the reality of the sprout, then one doesn't find that. But but finds the reality of that reality in the sense that the first one becomes the what do you say, the substratum of the predicate of this emptiness of its inherent existence. It is in this sense that the emptiness of emptiness is explained. So, if you speak of the reasonings just in a brief way, a reasoning that is set forth just for the Svatantrikas is that if one asserts inherent existence conventionally, then the meditative equipoise of a superior would be destroying phenomena. And it would absurdly follow that phenomena could conventionally be able to withstand analysis. And that production would not be refuted ultimately. And that it would be absurdly incorrect that all phenomena are empty of their own self in the sense of being empty of their own inherent existence. These are particularly set forth against the Svatantrikas. Thus, through setting forth such a view, there come to be many unique presentations within the Prasangika system. That's enough of that. Now, all I've been explaining is like a table of contents for these topics. Those of you who have an interest in it are to study these in detail.
I myself as a student of these things.
So all of us are to continuously engage in this study. So now I'll say a little bit about Tantra. We have the view of emptiness. And I've explained about the altruistic intention to become enlightened. And these two are the basis of mantra or Tantra. And the mode of procedure is that through enhancing the wisdom realizing emptiness, one will develop the truth body of a Buddha, and that through enhancing the altruistic factors, one will develop the form bodies of a Buddha. So what is the distinguishing feature of Tantra? It is posited in terms of quicker methods of achieving the meditative stabilization, which is a union of calm abiding and special insight. The main technique is that one in meditation is not taking observation of some external phenomenon, but is viewing one's own body as a divine body. One takes the clear appearance of one's own body as a divine body as the subject for studying emptiness, and settles the non-inherent existence of phenomena with respect to that, thereby developing the wisdom of non-dual manifestation and profundity. That's the general mode of procedure of Tantra. The three lower tantras, action, performance, and yoga, take this as the basic procedure, and then within their rites of deity generation, have slight variations. But then in the highest yoga tantra, there's something different. Before all of the tantric paths, it's necessary to be ripened by initiation. And in the process of initiation, through special substances, mantra, and meditative stabilization, one's continuum is blessed.
Oh yeah.
In order to receive initiation, it's necessary to have a properly qualified lama. Thus, the lama comes to be very important. But the qualifications of a lama are also very important. If a lama is not fully qualified, it's not good. There's danger. Therefore, Buddha said that the qualifications of a lama are extremely important. Similarly, in Tantra, it said that before taking someone as one's lama, it's very important to analyze carefully. One should analyze the lama even if it takes 12 years to complete the analysis. Thus, it indicates how important this is, and one shouldn't act in a hurried way. Having attained initiation, one must maintain the pledges and vows. There are many different types of initiations. I won't explain them. The general mode of procedure in highest yoga tantra is to make use of factors which we already have in the ordinary state and use them or transform them into the Buddha state. As said before, the altruistic intention to become enlightened and the view of emptiness are the very basis. The view must accord with either that of Chittamatra or of Madhyamaka. With such a view as one's basis, it is then explained in highest yoga tantra that in the ordinary state we have death, intermediate state, and rebirth. So the root of this is the very subtle wind in mind, which I was explaining the other day, right? And as like expressions of this very subtle wind in mind, there occur death, intermediate state, and rebirth. These three and the truth body, complete enjoyment body, and emanation bodies of the effect level at Buddhahood are similar.
근데 이번 인도산에 실이야 랑제스 요때에 내가 숨부터 타격이 신투나 제북 구숨부터래 규야게 다 가소래 고급 주의 받으네 다 데이터시 자인 거야 아래
Thus, one engages in techniques in order to make use of these factors which we naturally have in the ordinary state in order to transform them into the corresponding three of the Buddha state. Due to this purpose, these three factors which we ordinarily have are called the basic truth body, the basic complete enjoyment body, and the basic emanation body.
Oh, lemdu su ta tadan jawa ji, tadan namba jare, ya, kaso tishi padu sum yonde ba tere ya, any lemdu ji cholong tu sum se.
And the three which at the time of the path, the three, what do you say, types of path that are cultivated, similar to those, are called the, truth, complete enjoyment, a complete enjoyment and emanation bodies of the time of the path. Within this path, there are two levels, that of the stage of generation and that of the stage of completion. One that is mainly achieved by way of imagination. Whereas in the second, the stage of completion, one actually brings about a change in the channels, winds, and drops. The root of the stage of completion is that one is transforming the fundamental innate mind into a path consciousness.